Support for the Homemade Broadcast on Sunshine 96.7 FM WMTV comes from Truvy Salon and Spa in St. Petersburg. Located at 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, Truvy Salon and Spa offers hair care products and salon services by appointment only. Find out more about Truvy Salon and Spa at their website, TruvySalonAndSpa.com.
This is a Homemade Broadcast radio production.
I just wanted to chime in and say that I think you have some great views on everything. And I think you have some great opinions.
Oh, well, thanks.
Including what you're talking about right now. I think you are highly underrated. I think that you're doing a great job.
I agree, Karen. Believe me.
Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioSaintPete.com.
RadioSaintPete.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
Not a regular to this type of radio, here's a word of caution. You may find it explicit. You decide if Tampa Bay Radio is blaring out airwaves or shockwaves.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
I'm Bert Kreischer, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Now this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio and RadioSaintPete.com, Sunshine 96.7 FM in downtown St. Petersburg, the Best of the Bay nominated Sunshine 96.7 FM and RadioSaintPete.com, I may add, and please go vote. Head over to wherever you vote for that. I don't really know off the top of my head, but you can find it on Creative Loafing's website, I'm sure, CLTampa.com, and they'll direct you over there. Vote for Sunshine 96.7. Radio St. Pete, and of course, vote for the Johnny B Show, which I co-host with my friend Johnny B every night on 102.5 The Bone, except weekends. I don't know if that needs to be said or not, but maybe it does for some of you. Welcome to the program. Anna Hummel joining me in just a moment, and I can't wait to talk to her because lots of things happening in the world, and she always has a unique perspective. Now, I'd like to remind you that this program is now a live stream that can be listened to and watched live on YouTube and Facebook and all that, too, but mostly YouTube. I'd like to congregate everybody over to YouTube if I could, but wherever you watch is just dandy. It's on the Johnny B Show Facebook page. It's on the HMB Radio Facebook page, and it's on the YouTube. My YouTube, youtube.com/C/HMB Radio. And over there, you can watch the show, listen to it, interact with it, comment on it, leave nice comments, leave mean comments, whatever you want to do, really. It's all at your disposal right over there. And sometimes we'll put the chat things in the box for the show, and you can read them live. And from time to time, we'll even take people to join us in that stream. So if you want to do that, that would be cool. And it's a good time. It's 5:15 p.m. we settled on Wednesdays, so I hope you'll join us there. Now, there was something I didn't get to with Anna that I wanted to cover because I forgot. I know where you can find a place to live in St. Petersburg. I'm laughing, but it's not funny. It's not funny. It's really sad. It's a shame. But yeah, people cannot find a place to live. People are upset. In some cases, rightfully so. Now, my thing is, I don't know if you are, you know, have the right to live anywhere necessarily. People want to live here. It's the artists, you know, we've touched on it many times on this program. The artists, the musicians have made St. Pete into a place where people want to be and want to live. And then what happens is it becomes a place that people want to live, and then people live here. And then what happens is the people, the artists who don't make any money, so go, I can't live here anymore, and they, because it's too expensive, and then they move and make some other area cool, and the whole cycle kind of continues. St. Pete has lost a little bit of its luster over the past few years. I've been here for 15 years probably close to now, which is scary to say, but you know, I was here before it was cool, and in my opinion, I helped contribute to making it cool. I kind of, you know, I consider myself one of the founders of the St. Petersburg comedy scene anyways, just setting up open mics and giving comedians a place to do comedy, and people have picked up that torch. You know, I don't know how active it is now, to tell you the truth, but you know, it was a way for me to promote this podcast, and I met a lot of cool people and some not so cool people. And, you know, I don't know, you know, I can't live here either anymore. We talked about it a few weeks ago that I'm done with it. You know, it's kind of cool now that we have Russian spies in the neighborhood. That's even makes it cooler. But, you know, if you don't know what I'm talking about, go back to last week's episode and you can learn about the Uhurus and their connections with Russia. But I don't know, does anybody deserve to live anywhere just because they want to live here? I have a problem with that. I got accused of being, Johnny and I, of being Fox News of the bone, and that hurt me deeply because I really can't stand... I'm interested in the machinery of politics, but I hate politicians. I don't think that they're good people on any side of the paradigm. I think that this you know, war that they fight openly is fake mostly, and that they're all kind of in cahoots with each other to kind of you know, gang up on us and steal our money and you know, raid over us as the peasants that we are. You know, that's local politicians and, you know, federal, you know, Joe Biden, Donald Trump, all these people. So I'm fascinated with the process. And I like to talk about it, but I guess, you know, if you live in that binary, you know, brain, that if you're not this, then you're this, I guess I probably sound like some boomer conservative sometimes, which is, it hurts me deeply, honestly. I was very offended when somebody said that called into the show, because, you know, I identify at this rate as like an anarchist. I don't really believe in politics as a whole. Again, I find it fascinating and I like the process, but I don't believe in it. You know, I guess that's a form of nihilism, but I don't know. Back to this. Do you deserve to live anywhere? That's the thing. And people are talking about, I see a lot of my friends posting about it. They can't afford rent here. And it's absurd. You shouldn't live here. You should move and, you know, go work somewhere else. You probably either have a job where you can work remotely. If you have a job like that, though, you probably can afford to live here in one of these new high-rises. Or, you know, you're doing a job that's can be done somewhere else, a restaurant, service industry. And I know you want to live here, but, you know, why? Why do you want to live here? It sucks now, frankly. It sucks. And I don't know why everybody's fighting so hard. I have this story from WTSP I want to play the audio from. I wanted to put it on YouTube, but I don't know what the rules are with that. But let's listen to this story from Tampa Bay's 10.
A moment 6 months in the making, a live look right now as people in St. Pete follow through on a promise to sleep outside of City Hall if leaders did not address rising rent.
What we're prepared to do is escalate now to an occupation in a tent city if our demands are not met.
Pause. You're going to make a tent city? Why don't you just move? Why don't you go somewhere that you can afford to? I know it's Florida. I know Pinellas County is outrageous too. But why do you get to just, I don't understand this everything is a human right thing. That I want to live here. Okay, well, you can't afford it. The market will correct itself eventually once everybody leaves and it turns into just the women in yoga pants, wine drunk with their little dogs. The prices will come down because they suck.
That was 6 months ago at a demonstration at St. Pete City Hall. People demanding leaders come up with solutions to skyrocketing rent.
I just saw my friend, by the way. She has blue hair and she's in the video protesting.
Tonight, the same message. Dozens of people are spending the night pushing for leaders to take action. 10 Tampa Bay's Hannah Dineen has their message from City Hall tonight.
So they're all sleeping outside City Hall. So it sounds like the problem is solved. They all have a place to go. They're sleeping in on the City Hall grounds. What is the problem?
Everyone here tonight has the same goal, getting St. Petersburg city leaders to declare a housing state of emergency, which will get rent control on local ballots this November.
I just went today and I like gave my key back, and I mean, it's sad.
As of today, Jenna Sierra no longer lives in St. Pete.
I had to move back home, and so that's like Dover, Florida. That's like an hour away from here.
Dover, Florida is an hour away from St. Petersburg. 1 hour.
Student and service worker. She'd been living in a two-bedroom apartment with a roommate. But then rent went up from $1,300 to $1,800, more than she could pay.
I'm not alone. All my friends, like, when I tell them, they're like, they have some kind of advice for me because they just went through something.
Susan Pomeroy is a retired school teacher.
Jenna, go back to Dover. Go to Dover and start your life. Do you understand what's going on in the world? It's over. You missed the boat, Jenna. You don't want to be in St. Pete. Trust me, Dover is so much better. Go open a coffee place for non-binary dogs, okay? You're going to do well. You're going to do well. Everybody from St. Pete is going to flock. You're going to have the market cornered right there, right then. Go back to Dover, start your coffee shop.
And is worried about getting priced out of the city she's lived in her entire life. It's already happened to her son.
My son, who works for the city of St. Petersburg, he works for the water department. He cannot afford to live here, to rent. He's and this is a city worker.
The city.
What city worker in the city of St. Petersburg, trans water worker, can't get a hostel to stay in? You can't live in Tent City. Live in Tent City and work at the water department.
As the issue of affordable housing is a priority, Mayor Ken Welch says in a statement, "We are working diligently with city staff to identify and implement strategies to provide more affordable and workforce housing units in response to rising rents and homeownership costs." The rally organizers say the time to act is now, and voters should get a say.
The people can vote on it and decide if we want rent control here in St. Petersburg.
On Tuesday, Pinellas County...
Vote on what? Telling people that they can't charge what they want for their property? No. This is St. Pete, though. It'll happen, and they'll do it. And good. Good. Because it'll keep me here for a few more years, because I can't afford to live here either. But good. It'll keep me here for a few more years. God bless to the people of St. Petersburg. And I'm sorry, my right-wing fascist commentary is on this radio station and airwaves throughout the city right now. God bless. 813-693-2124. I'm going to go look into opening a hairdresser that specializes in dogs and non-binary trans individuals to open in Dover, Florida. And while I do that, I'm going to wait for Anna Hummel. She'll be joining us in just a second. Thank you. Hi, Anna.
Woo! What's up, Will?
You did it. You did it. Welcome. I heard you had some problems getting here.
Just speeding, and I was going to make it on time until I hit this light by my house that is just, it just takes forever every time. So Sorry about that, but I'm here now.
No problem. No problem. Welcome. I always assume when that's why I like to put a little bit of ish, you know, on the times, 5:15 ish, you know, here or there. But welcome. And hello, Mark. Mark says hello. Good to see you.
Mark?
Thank you for coming by. Karaoke Mark. Yeah, you never met Karaoke Mark, I don't think, but he's a good guy. Can I ask your thoughts on, I know we're not really into pop culture too much, maybe you a little more than me, but what is your thoughts on Justin?
Ryan Huppy. Not where you were going with that?
That's not where I was going with that. Ryan Huppy.
Oh, my bad.
If you'd like to give your opinion on Ryan Huppy, I'm certainly willing to listen to it, though.
I never thought he would leave the bone, you know?
Me either. You know,
he was bone. In a weird sort of way, everything about the bone was him, and he was the bone. And now he works for iHeart, and it's messing with my reality.
I kind of thought the same thing. He was almost like a mascot of the radio station, and now he's gone. He's moved on to greener pastures, and I'm afraid that they're going to ask me to do his duties. That is my biggest fear going into the next few weeks, because he did do a lot, and I think they're kind of scrambling to kind of piece the puzzles together, and, you know, they know they can count on good old Will to take the reins a little bit and help out wherever needed, which is true,
right?
But it is absolutely terrifying at the same time. Yeah. No, Justin Bieber is what I wanted to ask you about. Are you a believer? Do you love Justin Bieber?
I don't know if love is really the word. I don't mind him. I like a few of his songs.
Well,
so as but a, I certainly don't hate him. I certainly, and by him I mean his music. Like, to me, they are synonymous. But oh, what is this? He's a Nazi now?
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to ask you. As a Jewish woman, a non secular Jew, which I guess counts. I don't know. Justin Bieber is getting criticism today for goose stepping on stage. There's a problem with this though, which is that he wasn't in fact goose stepping on stage.
Not even a little bit.
It's
cute when you have nothing going on and you're just looking to be outraged for no reason. To be honest with you, Will, I don't even think Justin Bieber knows what the Nazis are or what the Holocaust was. I don't think he's a very educated person, which is great. So I don't think he's going out of his way to be like marching like the goddamn Gestapo. You know what I'm saying? I don't think that was his intention. I think he's just stamping to the music, and he has the mic out to the crowd so that they can sing along. I think that's what he's doing.
So
I actually looked up goose stepping just to see a comparison. It's not at all the same thing as what he's doing.
It's not.
At all.
And, you know, this is a still image here. And there's, you can kind of see something going on right here with his hand. But that's a moment in time where you don't just judge, you know, from a picture what's going on here. And you're absolutely right. That is not what goose stepping is. I looked it up, too.
Not a lot of bending in goose stepping.
Correct.
Not a lot of knee bending, which is exactly what he's doing. So
yeah, I don't get it. But there was this tweet from this guy, Judah Ari Gross. He is kind of gross. He's covering religion and Israel's ties to Jews abroad for the Times of Israel. He's Philly born. Go Terps. He's a Maryland Terp. And
what's a Terp?
I think it's a turtle of some kind.
Is this a sports team I've never heard of?
It's a university. It's not necessarily it's a University of Maryland Terrapin, I believe is what they call them.
Okay.
Yeah. So I want to show you the video because you can't really tell from, you know, just a second in time what it's like. But let's look at the video. Let me share this.
German, that would be so fun.
Yelling, yeah, expletives.
And,
yeah.
And I'm like, okay, my bad. Yeah.
Yeah. So here's the video that this guy posted and asked if he was going to be doing this in Israel. Can you see this okay?
Yeah, I watched the video earlier. It's not even, he's literally like trying to dance. And I know you can't hear the music, but like he's just stamping his feet to the beat of the song. Like I don't see the goosepping at all.
Ari Gross ever seen Mick Jagger?
I don't know. You made a comment about that. I'm not really too well versed in his in the moves like Jagger, so to speak. I don't really know. Does he do a similar thing, I imagine?
Yeah. Let me show you this here. Hopefully the audio doesn't come through, otherwise we're going to get banned from YouTube. But here's right. Mick Jagger dancing around on stage here. He's got a very similar kind of thing going on, and this is bad if you're listening on podcast. That's why I would encourage you to watch the live stream here. But here he is at Live Aid 1985. He's performing. Justin Bieber is also performing during this time, and there he is, just doing his thing, shopping around, throwing his arms up.
Was this for AIDS?
Yeah, it was AIDS. Yeah, AIDS benefit, yeah. And I think at one point he kind of does the stomping around, running around thing too. I didn't have it queued up right away, but it's called a performance. Fella,
yeah,
I cannot believe, and of course that tweet got tons of interaction online over the littlest, tiniest little thing. It got tons of interaction. Now a lot of people called this guy a fool for saying this, but a lot of people agreed that yeah, Justin Bieber is a Nazi now.
Yeah, well he's not. He's too dumb to be a Nazi, but it's cute. It's cute, and I'm sure his manager is Jewish or someone related. In his circle that's managing him or feeding him good financial advice is Jewish. So I do not think he has anything against Jews.
Yeah, I don't either. Mike from St. Pete says, goose stepping has the legs going all the way out. Correct. You would think somebody that was so passionate about the thing as that fellow was would know that. But instead, it's something that you'll get a lot of. I think just people say dumb stuff and they don't even care. You know, they just want the interaction. I'm just figuring this out right now, Anna. Because he hasn't deleted it. People will say really dumb stuff online and then just let it roll, even though it's totally debunked and fake. It's still I'll just leave it up. It's got 30,000 likes, so and I got 10,000 followers out of it, so I'll just leave it up.
Yep.
Do you think that social media companies have any, like, this is obviously fake, we're going to remove this tweet. Do you think they have any responsibility or culpability for that?
No.
No. Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I don't know. It is annoying.
Well, then you get into the whole misinformation thing, disinformation. I mean, if that's someone's opinion, you're allowed to think something about somebody. That's not against the law. You're allowed to lie or make an assumption that's not against the law. Like, let it rip. I don't care. Like, I don't like the policing of the social media, but I also understand that they are a private company and they have the rules and regulation. And if they want to censor people, although it sucks, it's like, okay, but those are their rules. It's their party. They can let whoever in they seem fit. So it's up to them. But yeah, it's dumb, but that's, I think everybody should be allowed to be dumb. That's our, God-given American right.
You should be able to be dumb, but we got to keep it to yourself, like, or the dinner table or your immediate friends and family. But when you do something like this, it's something that gets to the point where there's so many interactions with the tweet and people start calling you, these disparaging names that could ruin your life if they actually stick. I don't think this one is going to stick, obviously, but it's going to force a response from Justin Bieber's team and be like, Justin Bieber wasn't goose stepping and giving them giving the Heil Hitler salute. And it's so obvious to anybody who isn't a complete moron or is just intentionally being naive of the situation in order to get those. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know a way around it, but that's a kind of one of those things where it's a repercussion of this medium. It's something that comes along with it, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, the kid had like a stroke a month ago. Can't they just be like, he's horrible at dancing now. He can barely move his face. He's getting over brain aneurysm. Give him a break. He's not goose stepping, you idiot. Like,
what if they did cover their butts? Were just like, he has a vaccine injury. Don't you? They finally just admit it. He has a vaccine.
He took ivermectin. Yeah. See? Turned you into a Nazi.
Yep. So he's recovering. How dare you? We're suing Pfizer for $25 million. We're probably kicked off YouTube as we speak. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be a shame. But yeah, I mean, come on. It's just so obvious that that's not what's happening. And it feels like they're either intentionally being naive of it or just completely mentally handicapped, head injury status. And I don't know which one, you know, was worse at that point. Well, but it's,
you know, when you, do you know who Jim Quick is? Jim Quick. He's this Asian dude. He does a lot with like memory and like optimal learning and stuff like that. But he talks about, and I forget what the like, not the rule is, but he's like the brain heuristic, psychological heuristic, where like if you get a pug or something, or you, he was talking about his sister got a pug, and then all of a sudden he started seeing pugs everywhere, or you start thinking about a kind of car you want to get, and then you start seeing that car everywhere, and you're like, geez, these cars are everywhere. It's like, no, they were always there. You're just now paying attention to it. Same thing goes with like being offended with anything. It's like if you're Jewish and everything that you do involves like World War II, the Holocaust, Nazis, you know, anti-Semitism, you're going to see goose stepping everywhere. You're going to see Nazis and swats because everywhere that you look, in the grass, in the sky, in the clouds, everywhere, because it's constantly on your mind. And that's exactly who pointed it out. It's like some dude of like Jewish studies for the Jerusalem Times or whatever. Like he's like on a hyper alert for anything that could look like something anti-Semitic, a swastika, Nazi, goose-stepping. Like that's always on his mind. So that's all he's thinking about. So I think that's why people are pointing things out, because they're hyper aware of them, you know, so they see him in everything.
Right. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think that's a big problem probably that's in this. It's like a confirmation bias too, where you know, have a certain worldview or whatever, and you start with your conclusion, you kind of work your way backwards to try to prove that conclusion. So you maybe force, you know, puzzle pieces and holes that don't quite fit, but you make them fit just so you can kind of confirm your worldview.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's what did my professor call when I was in grad school? He would say, you know, shake up the data. Like if you didn't get the answer that you wanted, just run a different statistical analysis and use the data you have to fit the conclusion that you want. It was horrible. Like they do that all the time so that they get grants and that they can publish, because if they don't find anything significant, they don't publish. No one gives them money. No one gives them grants. So you just shake up the data and then you can find whatever you're looking for, essentially, you know. It's really shady.
That's awful. I mean, that's following the science.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I quit. I'm like, wait, this is science and academia? Like, it's politics. It's just like everything else, you know, but it sucks. Because you think, like, science is, like, wholesome and, you know, truth seekers, and it's the same S.
There was Alzheimer's research, like many years, two decades of research that just got, I don't know if it got pulled entirely, but it was much like you said, one of those things where they had a hunch and they kind of found data to go with that hunch in order to make the hunch work. And now it's like it might be two decades lost of research because it's looking like it's not what they thought after all. And it was just a big waste of time. And how much money, you know, went into that, and how much of a gamble it is when you're, you know, you're trying to get grants based on your, you know, work. And then your work is like, it's not panning out. There's incentive to lie about it in order to keep the money.
Or reverse. It's like you have a Christian foundation and they want you to find science supporting X, and then they pay you a bunch of money to do research to find something for them that supports their hypothesis. So it's like, you're screwed.
Yeah.
You're screwed.
Yeah. It's all, I mean, what can you rely on? What institution isn't completely and utterly corrupt?
Well, They all are. But this is what I try to do. And again, it takes a lot of work and a lot of effort. And obviously, you can't know everything about everything. But you just have to triangulate your resources, you know? And if you find something that's kind of odd, like, look who sponsored that study. Like, who was it funded by? A certain organization looking for a certain result, you know? Was it, did it seem like it was unbiased? And then see if there's other studies that corroborate what that study found, you know? So if you can kind of look at a few different things and they're kind of saying the same thing, you can probably make the assumption that that's the truth. But again, you never know. So that's why I always leave the back door kind of cracked open to, you know, I might be wrong. But given the information I know and the evidence at hand, this is what I think about X, you know?
That's all you can. Right, but that's you as a person and us as a people trying to figure out what these, you know, experts are saying is true or not, and can you count on it? You got to have somebody to fact check these things that come out that are, you know, presented as truth, and then it's like who fact checks the fact checkers and who watches the watchmen.
That's why they do like repeated measure studies. Or, you know, they'll run a study and they'll do it again and again. And different people are running the same studies. And if everybody is kind of coming up with the same thing, then you can kind of assume that that's a fact. But if it's like a study where it's like sample size, 8 people, one time in 1995, we found that, you know, injections cause autism, which is where that originally came from. Then it's like, and then that becomes fact. It's like, whoa, 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 hold on. How did we get here? What evidence is this based on? What study is this? And then you go back and you find like sample sizes 11 and you go, hold on a second. We got 11 people in this study. You know, you want thousands, and obviously the more the better. But yeah. So you kind of have to keep your eyes open for, you know, the science that you're reading. But it's incredibly frustrating, especially to people like you and I who want to know what's going on. We're curious people. And if what we're being fed is trash, then it sucks. But that's the way it is.
Yeah, it's hard not to just, you know, I kind of just say, well, everything's fake. I don't believe anything. I have to really, if it's something I really care about, then I'll spend the time to, you know, look into it for myself, which is a big no-no. You're not allowed to do that anymore. The New York Times put out an article last year, probably, I guess, saying that was no, you can't do that. That's bad.
What do you mean?
Just you know, when you say it was about, you know, COVID and the I'm afraid to even say the words. I guess we did already. Goes into your
the arm. Jab.
Yes, yeah, that whole thing. You know, don't just trust experts. They know what they're doing, and experts get proven wrong constantly. Constantly, and there's no repercussions for them being wrong.
They want their experts. Don't question their experts, because if there were experts coming out that were saying something else, well, don't listen to those people. They don't know what they're talking about. It's like, well, that person is just as qualified as everybody else, according to, you know, their certifications. Who am I to believe? So
yeah, well, that's the thing. There's data for everything. So there's data to say that you're right, and there's also data that says you're wrong, you know, and you got, you know, the DeSantis's doctor guy, Surgeon General, he's getting a bunch of pushback now, but he's got a bunch of data. He's Harvard educated. He's got, you know, he's got all these qualifications. There was people when the COVID stuff was happening, people from Yale and very prestigious institutions and universities that were saying, we're doing the wrong thing here.
Peter McCullough. I listened to that whole podcast on Joe Rogan because I thought I was going to get taken down.
Yeah, Jay Bhattacharya from, I think he's from Harvard. I mean, there's a lot of people that were kind of, you know, not on board with this who are, you could put them in, you know, these people's jobs and there would be a totally different way of doing things. And that would be the official, you know, way of handling the situation. But they just weren't, they didn't have any power. They weren't in power. And this was the way they decided to handle it. And, you know, I guess because we have the ability to kind of look into it for ourselves, maybe 40, 50 years ago, we'd be dependent on TV and radio. Now we got the internet where we have all this information, you know, right at our fingertips where we can go, I don't think this is right. Now you're able to question these experts. So I think they double down and just demonize people who are outside of the, you know, the mainstream point of view.
Agreed.
Yeah. Do you have any, you ever seen a ghost? This is a weird transition, but you ever seen a ghost?
No, I don't believe in apparitions.
You don't believe? Let's see the cat. Pull it up. Pick it up. As,
I can't, because as soon as I try to pick him up, he like runs away.
Oh.
But he knows I'm podcasting. I tell you this every week. He rarely comes up to me, and then it's like he could sense that it's not a good time, and that's when he makes his move.
Yeah, I see. I see. Well, that's okay. He's welcome on the show whenever he wants. What's that stupid thing's name?
Gouda,
that's right.
What's... It's an underdeveloped penis.
Yes, yes, it's transgendered cat that you have. That's awesome. Now, I do have a story I would like to share with you. I don't know what I heard or what it was, but at first I want to tell you this story. Now, the Rays, the Tampa Bay Rays are playing in Milwaukee for only, I believe, the second time in their existence in like 20 years. Milwaukee, Wisconsin against the Brewers. There's a historic hotel there called the Pfister Hotel in downtown Milwaukee. It was built in 1893. It's garnered a reputation for seemingly being haunted by paranormal spirits. And there's some players that don't mind crashing at the eccentric location. But Yandy Diaz is one who is freaked out by ghosts. He's 6'2", 215 pounds. He says that... his teammates did little to ease his concerns, taping a cartoon ghost to the front of Diaz's locker ahead of Sunday's game in Detroit alongside the Spanish word cuidado, or watch out, I guess is what it means in English. He flirted with the idea of staying in his own hotel because he didn't want to stay at this haunted hotel, but he was promised a room in the newest tower of the vintage Pfister and was guaranteed to be a ghost-free zone. He said, all I want is to not have any ghosts in my room, he said via interpreter, according to the Tampa Bay Times. He's not the only player who considers the hotel to be haunted. Outfielder Roman Quinn claimed to hear multiple stories of paranormal encounters from his former Philadelphia Phillies teammates, including outlines of non-existent beings on beds, disappearing figures in the halls, and clothes mysteriously moving around the room. G-Man Choi is no stranger to dealings with ghosts either, as his biography in the Rays Media Guide proudly states how he's terrified of the beings and believes to have had many encounters with them, including hugs and whispers. He said that if I see a ghost, I'll say hi to them. Pitcher Ryan Yarbrough, for one, is not willing to buy into the haunted rumors, though. He says, I'm not too concerned. I'm not saying that I don't believe in that. I just feel like you don't try to overly concern yourself and then maybe bad things won't happen. So you said you're not a believer in the paranormal.
No.
No Bigfoot either, no Loch Ness Monster, no UFOs, aliens?
Well, I don't know about aliens because I don't know if they necessarily exist in the way that we think that they exist. But I do think that there are extraterrestrial beings. There's just no way that life is only present on our planet within our solar system, within our galaxy, within our universe, when there's possibly multiple universes.
Okay, so you're open to aliens or other dimensional beings or something of that nature, but maybe that's what ghosts are. Maybe that's other dimensional beings kind of coming through.
Well, I don't think it's other dimensional. I don't know if they live in another dimension. I don't think that ghosts are supernatural. They're not natural. You can't prove a ghost with science. You could possibly prove life on another planet. We've sent rovers to Mars and they've discovered bacteria. Those bacteria could be aliens, but it's like the presence of life. So, you know, that's technically an alien because it didn't come from planet Earth, but ghosts are something different. The ghosts are not, they're not concrete, right? You can't prove the existence of a ghost using the scientific method. People think you can, but you can't.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe you can. Maybe you can come up with something. I don't know. You just don't have the technology yet. Some sort of, you know, we have devices that can read You know, light that we can't see, for example, with our, so something that can go beyond our perceptions, and maybe we could get them that way if we invent something.
Sure.
So I have a story that I don't know what the hell it was. Now, I was a little boy, so I got to preface with that. Little boys have vivid imaginations, waking dreams. But I remember my stepdad was redoing our bathroom at the house, and we had to stay at my aunt's house. And it was my bubby and me, and we shared a room together, two separate beds. And I woke up in the middle of the night, I would say past midnight, maybe a little past midnight. Nobody was up in our house. And I heard somebody washing dishes. I mean, it wasn't like a like an echo or anything. Like it was loud because it woke me up. And well, that's unusual. It's really late. Why is somebody doing dishes at this hour? And I just got out of bed, and I did the little kid sneak around thing where you kind of hug the walls and you go, you know, try to be as sneaky as possible. I got to the end of the hall. And I could still hear it. I could still hear the dishes being washed. And I did the little kid sneak out, you know, quickly turn and pop my head out, was in the kitchen, light was on, dry dishes in the dish rack. But nobody there. I've blown Anna's mind. So I don't know. I don't know what happened that night. It freaked me out, obviously, because I was a little boy. So I remember just going back to bed, kind of ran back and threw the covers over my head and went to sleep. So
I probably would not have been able to sleep.
It took me a while. I was pretty scared. But you know, when you're a kid, you're stupid, and you just think that if you pull the covers over your head that nobody can see you.
That you're safe, yeah.
I'm safe. So I kind of just pulled the covers over my head and managed to get to sleep. But yeah, I don't know. I go back to that, and maybe it was a dream. Maybe it was, you know, I don't know. Maybe I was sleepwalking or something.
Yeah.
But it feels vivid to me, even now, many, many years later. So I don't know. That's about as close as I ever got with like a ghost story. But you never had any weird experiences that you just can't explain, that you don't know what happened?
No, I have a lot of secondhand things where people tell me stories like yours. The doctor on my show, Baba Show Dr. Dan, claims that the third story of his house, like the attic, or no, it's not his attic, but the third story is a very large house, is haunted by the people that used to live there because it's an older home. I think it was built like in the 1900s or so, not 1900s, like 1990, but like the turn of the century. And he claims that there are ghosts. They're friendly ghosts, but there are ghosts that are present in his house. And I'm just like, no, I don't believe that.
What was his story or his evidence or his, you know?
I think one time he like went to get into bed, and the bed was like made, and he left the room and came back, and his wife wasn't there or anything. Like, he was alone in the house, and the bed was like opened as if someone was about to get in bed, and it was like the other side that he doesn't sleep on. So, you know, the bed was made, and then all of a sudden the bed wasn't made, and it was like as if someone, you know, folded the bedding back to get in the bed. So he thought that was kind of strange. He's told a few other stories about like weird sounds, people singing and stuff like that in the morning or at night or something. But that's not a jam.
Man, I can't believe it. I feel like everybody has at least one. Maybe because you're so anti, you just shut your brain off to that, so you just don't register it. Maybe.
I mean, I'm definitely a skeptic when it comes to that sort of stuff. So I'm not looking for it. And I, you know, and that includes everything from astrology to ghosts to spiritual stuff. Like there's no part of me that's in any way, shape or form like that or into any of that stuff. No Holy Ghost. I'm an atheist. You know, I'm not a dualist. I believe that, you know, there's nothing that separates the brain from the soul. It's one thing. It's not made from this other material. It's all just your behavior, your brain. It's not, you don't have a soul. And when you die, your brain and thus your soul dies with you.
I think that's a great place to end it. All right, folks, that's it. We'll leave it there. Thanks so much for tuning in. Thank you to Anna Hummel. Catch her on the Bubble of Love Sponge show on Twitch, and catch me on the Johnny B show 8 to 10 p.m., except Wednesdays, 10 to midnight on 102.5 The Bone. The Best of the Bay nominated Johnny B show, by the way. So please go vote for us. I know Johnny B will appreciate it, as will I. And make sure you vote for Radio St. Pete's best radio station. Big underdog going into this thing, but much like the Johnny B show being a big underdog. So, you know, if you like a good underdog story, and who doesn't, make sure you go push the button for those two things. Also, I'd just like to remind you that you can donate to this program if you're enjoying it, and I would certainly like that, as would Anna. Just go to hmbradio.com/donate. Thanks again to Kevin, who sent us some money on Venmo there. That was very gracious of you, and the HMB Radio shop is still up. You want to get a t-shirt or a hoodie or something, hmbradio.com/store. Winter's coming. You're going to need a hoodie, and why not wear an HMB Radio one? It's nice and comfy and shows your support for the show. I'd very much appreciate that. Thank you for listening, though. Please tell a friend about it. Spread the word. Those are the most important things, really. So share it on your social media pages, tweets, all that stuff. And you can follow me at home_made_main on Instagram and Twitter. Radio St. Pete, just Radio St. Pete. HMB Radio on Facebook and Radio St. Pete on Facebook. Anna's off, still offline, so don't even bother with her. She will appreciate that even more if you just don't bother. Thank you so much, folks. My name's Will Koontz. This has been HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Ver's Jazz Show is up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. If you're listening on podcast, go tell a friend, share it, all that good stuff. Thank you so much, folks. Love you. Goodbye.
You have found The Homemade Broadcast on RadioSt.Pete.com.